the other week I was in London and I went and met Kelly Lovelady in a cafe in Charing Cross Road. And we talked about what she's been doing there. She is a conductor, but she has very big ambitions to bring Australian music and Australian musicians to London audiences. So I asked her precisely what it is she was up to in London.
Well, I've started an initiative, as you know, called Ruthless Jabberoo, which is an all-Australian chamber orchestra based here in the UK. It's made up of the professional Australian players who play with the major UK symphony orchestras, but also with chamber ensembles, quartets, trios, freelancers, emerging professionals, students who are studying in the academies. It's a real mixed bag of Australian players. So it's really, there's a lot of potential. It's so exciting.
And what do you, I mean, as far as the logistics are concerned, I mean, how do you go about it? Because, I mean, all of these players have other jobs in other orchestras, or a lot of them do anyway. How do you wrangle them to come and play in Ruthless Jabberoo?
Well, you're right. Scheduling is the single hardest thing I have to deal with because we're always up against the musician's primary job. So my angle on that is to create a really desirable project for them to do. I mean, at the end of the day, it's up to them. If people want to do it, they'll find a way to do it. If they're not available, no big deal. They'll do the next one. So at the moment, it's working fine because the people that have worked with me before, they want to come back. If they can't, that's fine. It leaves an opportunity for other people to come in and then have that first experience. And then I'm constantly trying to build this circle of core membership, I guess you'd call it. So it's all going amazingly smoothly, I have to say, but fixing is a very challenging task.
And you're doing that as well as everything else. This is a one-woman show.
It is a one-woman show. I guess I shouldn't be ashamed of that because I have control of the way that I want to do it. And I've actually been thinking lately that it really gives me a lot of flexibility to do it that way. I mean, I'm constantly thinking in terms of how are the other orchestras fixing? How are the other ensembles working in terms of contracts, in terms of union membership, in terms of scheduling, all these things. And I realize I don't have to fit that mold. It's sort of come as a bit of an epiphany lately that, in fact, maybe the nature of this orchestra doesn't have to follow a typical fixing process. Maybe there's another way because we're not an orthodox group. I mean, it's the perfect opportunity to break new ground and do it our way and find out the best fit. So, and why?
What are you aiming for? I mean, are you aiming for a full-time ensemble or are you aiming for, do you have an end point in mind?
Well, I have so many ideas that are on the burner and it's a case of really which ones come to fruition first, and that's the direction that this orchestra will take. So I would love to have a subscription series in place. Within the next few years, I'd like to be performing at least 6 or so concerts a year, but hopefully more than that, a combination of subscription concerts where we have creative control, mixed with rentals, mixed with gala performance, collaborations with other disciplines, collaborations with touring orchestras, with soloists coming over, projects with Australian input, but projects also with international input, working with people who are based here in the UK, people that are really based anywhere. I mean, I love working with Australians. It's great. But, you know, I don't feel that this orchestra has to be exclusive to that. I just want to be a great ensemble. I just want to decide a concept for a project and then bring it to the best point that project can get to. As I say, at the end of the day, I'm marketing a brand here. And so I need to build the brand in the UK. The brand needs to be local. And so I'm trying to build these connections with Australia at the same time, but my focus has to be local in order to get this thing to be sustainable. So I haven't had business training. I haven't had marketing training. I'm flying by the seat of my pants and seeing what works for us, seeing what works for everyone else, and making some decisions on the fly.
What about the ruthless bit of ruthless jabberoo? What does that mean? Where does that come from?
Well, I'm going for a contemporary energy, a youthful, vibrant style of performance, I guess. I'm inspired by people like Eighth Blackbird, Bang on a Can, those guys over in the US. I mean, I'm not trying to be, you know, stuffy and prestigious. I want us to be able to have a good time, to be able to do things that are curiouser and curiouser. And I think we're a fresh Australian brand that has the potential to really break through some boundaries here in the UK. There's a lot of energy at the moment going into the idea of really the success of Australians in the UK as being sort of cutthroat. And I think that we go along with that. I mean, when I say cutthroat, I mean it in a good way.
The other thing that I should ask you about, Kelly Lovelady, is your commissioning, because you've commissioned pieces now, including one from Peter Sculthorpe for Ruthless Jabberoo. Tell me about what you have in mind when you commission a piece, because it must in some way reflect your image of the group.
I'm realizing more and more, I've been working lately on programming a lot, and my initial intent with this group was to work with a mixture of living composers and work from the 20th century. But more and more I'm realizing that programming work by living composers, it fits best for me with other music by living composers. And so I'm tending to program more and more. So things are getting newer and newer. And I'm fine with that, but it's going to be a case of how I can think around marketing that concept to the British public. And so I'm working very intently on that at the minute. I love working with composers, and I think part of it is that I like the gamble of not knowing what you're going to get. As you say, I've commissioned something from Peter, which is really, we're really lucky to have him write for us. I don't know how much work he's taking on these days, but he was very forthcoming in that project, and so I'm really looking forward to talking with him more about it. Recently, we premiered our first commission, which was by a great friend of mine named Leah Cardos, who is doing a lot of studio production here in London, having had a classical composition background. So I thought the combination of those experience was a really interesting mixture, and she wrote a piece that had a great reception at our concert in May, which, as I also said, we've been invited to record in the studio. So there should be more about that soon on the burner. I mean, actually, just last night I was thinking, in contemporary music, the power of these evocative titles. I mean, when I'm programming, I do really like to program from sound connections rather than thematic links or programmatic links. I mean, for me, it needs to be deeper than that. For me, a sound connection from one piece to the next is a deeper, more profound connection than links by title. But the power of these evocative names of pieces is a real luxury for marketing of contemporary music. I think it really opens doors that they didn't have in the past. I mean, we're not a symphony orchestra standing up to play a symphony and an overture and a concerto. I mean, I think this is actually a groundbreaking idea that we can work in. We can attract an audience through the poetics of the words that are attached to these pieces for whatever reason. And who knows who we can draw in through those connections. I'm really excited about the potential. I have no idea how I'm going to find my way around this around this discovery that I think I've just made, but it'll be interesting to see, because I think maybe that's a clue to building this thing. So to answer your question, which I haven't done yet, I realize that I'm approaching them all in very different ways. I want to commission young people. I want to commission very established composers. I want to commission Australians. I want to commission international people. I'm very open-minded about I mean, I'm really just sort of keeping the options open, and that seems to be working fine just now. I don't want to exclude anyone.